News and interviews from your community every morning on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on our WKOK Sunrise program. Mr. Rob Setters, our fabulous producer, Matt Catrillo's clackety-clacking at home. I can hear him all the way up here. So we appreciate his help and hard work this morning. On the news line with us now, Lee Griffin is back. He's from Sunbury. He's a Democratic candidate for U.S. Congress in the 12th District. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling back in today.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for having me on.
I do appreciate that. You're running for the U.S. Congress, so let's get a rundown on the status of the campaign, what you're doing to kind of get the word out, and we'll talk about some of the issues. So reintroduce yourself to our audience, if you don't mind, and talk about the campaign a little bit.
Sure, yeah. As you said, my name is Lee Griffin. I'm running from Sunbury in the 12th District in PA, which is, I believe, our largest congressional district in the state, only 15 counties. And so we're actually really excited. We've got a great campaign going. We're hosting virtual town halls with all 15 counties, voters from everywhere. I want to talk to every community that we can get to. And we've gone through 12 of them so far, three more this week. And that we'll have talked to all 15 counties, which is exciting. You know, talk to people and hear all of the concerns that they've got. And we'll continue that throughout the campaign and beyond.
And they are virtual town hall meetings. In what way is a virtual meeting focused on a particular county?
So we're hosting it with the local committees in the area. They're open to everyone, but what we want to do is give folks from a particular county dedicated time to ask questions that matter to them. And so we're making sure to publicize it for, you know, upcoming tonight. We've got Mifflin County, then there's going to be Wyoming County and Union County on Thursday night.
And how does one find? Oops, please, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Anyone's available to join, and you can sign up. We've got it on the Facebook page.
There you go. Okay, so that's what I was going to ask. How do you find out about the one in your particular county? And anybody can monitor this and participate and get involved in this?
Yeah, of course, yeah. We'll send out with the Zoom call. You can either dial in from your phone or you can do it from your computer. And we'll send out the call information ahead of time to anybody who signs up.
All right. When are the Snyder Union Northumberland Montour town halls?
So we've had those. We're going to start another round in the next month or so, too, to continue that.
Okay.
The Union is coming up on Thursday.
And you can see the results of those also on Facebook? Is that sort of your go-to clearinghouse for campaign information?
Yeah, we put post things on there. We'll take some recordings. We haven't posted any of the recordings yet because we want to make sure to be sensitive to the folks who've participated, but we may be taking snippets of that and putting that up as well.
Tell me about the Democratic National Campaign was last week. Your reaction to that, Kamala Harris chosen as vice presidential candidate, and kind of segue into the Republican convention that's underway. We'll get your reaction to that as well. Now, you're a Democrat. We want to be clear on that. We'll start with last week's convention.
Sure, yeah. I really enjoyed the Democratic National Convention that happened last week. I thought it was well executed, very smooth, and I saw some great speeches. What we saw on display at the DNC was competence, professionalism, and people who really care about serving the people of this country. It was, you know, there were some inspiring speeches, and it was reassuring to see the kind of leadership that we saw on display there. I didn't actually catch last night's the opening of the RNC because we had a town hall going on last night with Center County. But I'm sure it was interesting, and I'll be paying attention more to it this week for sure.
Well, and they're talking about many Democrats, particularly the far left in the U.S. Congress, and some others are basically socialists trying to take over the country, take away guns, supporting Antifa, loving China. Your reaction when you kind of hear that? Now, this is the president did promise a feel-good message from the Republicans, so that was it last night. Your reaction?
So I think that misses the mark somewhat. We don't have a Democratic Party that's a bunch of socialists that are trying to cozy up to China in any way. I think that misses the mark quite a bit. And I think you see that in the fact that there's a lot of Republican leadership that opted not to participate, and actually there was some Republican participation in the Democratic National Convention. So I think that message isn't quite accurate at all.
I think they had quite a few Democrats speaking last night as well. So it's probably both sides doing both changes there. You have a business background. You may be more uniquely qualified to talk about the U.S. Postal Service and what's happening there. Give us an overview of that issue from your perspective, and what should we do?
Sure. So, yeah, my professional background is in warehousing and shipping. So shipping packages. I deal with the USPS a lot. And that's been a big issue on the town halls, too. We had several questions last night about taking care of the Postal Service and making sure they're ready to deliver ballots in October and November. And I think one thing that's important to remember about the Postal Service, most people don't realize, is that we hear a lot about, they're losing money hand over fist and they're not doing well. A lot of the loss has nothing to do with the operations. It's the funding of the retirement service, which was a law that was passed back in 2006, signed by George W. Bush, that requires a huge amount of funding up front for the retirement plan, which is out of line with every other retirement plan that exists. And so that's where a lot of the funding shortfall actually comes. What we need to do right now, because we're going to have such a high volume of letter-sized movement through the network, is maintain the capacity. Even though over the years people have sent less and less letters, the sorting machines that we've heard about and the teams, so overtime, additional trucks, that's going to need to be in place just to handle that spike in volume that we're going to see in October and November. What we do with the post office after is another conversation, and it is worth talking about how the Postal Service gets redesigned a little bit to better serve the economy in the country. Great. But for right now, one, we're going to rely on it for a nationwide election. We need to make sure they have the support and the capacity that they need.
You may have noticed Republican National Committee send out postcards to dead people encouraging them to vote. Reaction to that particular tactic, I guess, or it's a sort of a campaign measure?
Yeah, so I thought it was very interesting where we've got two messages simultaneously coming from the Republican Party, where one, we've got a message, at least from some, who are saying vote by mail is bad, don't trust it, it causes fraud, and then on the other side, we've got mailers coming out that say make sure you sign up for your mail-in ballot. So I think that's pretty confusing to a lot of voters, and so what we need is a consistent message and faith in the public service that's going to be supporting our election in an unprecedented way.
One of our good listeners always says, if you have any political candidate, ask him three important questions about abortion, gun control, and the death penalty. So we'll take them in order. Abortion, your view on that, please.
Sure. I am pro-choice. I believe that the government shouldn't be legislating that decision for women, particularly a government that is vastly a majority men, and where women are the ones who have to bear that decision.
And changes in gun laws that would make ours safer? That's how Pat Toomey always asks it, what changes in guns laws would make us safer, in your view?
So I think that we need to do a lot more data on what the causes are for gun violence, because there are a number of different things. So I do believe that background checks will help reduce illegal purchases, but we also need to look into suicides and the standard sort of crimes of passion that we always have, and that's going to require a broader approach. The CDC and the NIH have received funding to study this so that we can have good information on the causes and the drivers behind that so that we can craft good policy.
I want
to see that data done.
Pardon me. There are already background checks for guns. What would you change in that system?
So there are ways to... I want to expand the background check so that purchases across in any scenario will be gone through the database.
So what's like universal background checks? You hear that phrase, it probably means different things to different people. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
So any transaction at all whatsoever, even family members, if I hand down a gun to my daughter, she would have to go through the background check?
I think we need to take that into account in perhaps a different way, because I grew up with firearms as well. I've had frankly, I've had a gun handed down to me. It was my grandfather's, and it was my dad's, and then it was mine. And so that does seem to be a different case where we need to do it, but where we have financial transactions, particularly in cases where, whether it's online or in person, a marketplace where you've got some folks who are, because they're not having a profitable transaction, they're not doing business, so to speak, they can sell to a stranger, and because it's not profitable, then it's not a background check. I think that's where we need to focus. That exemption, we can just rewrite that a little bit to make that a clearer and make sure that folks who aren't familiar with each other and who aren't necessarily going to be in any way responsible for the actions of the person who is purchasing the gun, that I think we need to cover.
Your view on the death penalty?
So studies have shown that the death penalty doesn't necessarily actually deter crime any more than a life sentence in prison, so I'm generally not in favor of the death penalty. And oftentimes it actually costs more to the taxpayer for a number of reasons, where there's appeals that happen, and we still have it's a higher cost to the whole system. So it doesn't seem like it's achieving the goals that we want, and also I do not favor the death penalty because it's final, and sometimes we've found that people have been proven innocent after they've already been executed.
If you had been in Congress earlier this year, how might you have reacted differently to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, what we needed throughout the year was a clear, unified response from the federal and the state government, and what we saw was the federal government not in agreement with many state governments about how to go about it. And the state governments were the ones who were actually handling and executing things. We needed a clearer plan from the beginning, and then support from the state delegations for in the federal government, those delegations support for what the state government needed to be able to actually execute and keep people safe.
Elaborate on that briefly. I didn't quite follow it. So you would have the states work more closely with the president?
I think that our congressional delegation, instead of undercutting the governor's decisions, working with the governor to say, what funding do you need? How do we support you and our state government in getting funding and getting whatever support from CDC and other agencies are necessary on the ground? And we didn't see that.
I briefly compare and contrast yourself with Congressman Keller, who's the Republican nominee in this district.
So one of the big differences is I am not a career politician. I'm a first-time candidate. I'm running. I have a business background, and that's what I plan to bring to this. I'm not extend a career. This is not why I'm running. I'm running because I believe that we need fresh eyes and representation in Congress. And I want to stand up for the communities, you know, that raised me. And so I'm not planning to toe a party line, and I'm not going to just stick with and vote along party lines. I want to hear from everyone, and I plan to represent everyone, whether it's Republican, Independent, Democrat, or otherwise. I want to listen, and I want to hear, and I want the voters to tell me where I need to learn more and what they can teach me and better represent that.
I'm not sure it's a contrast to say that you have a business background. Congressman Keller, within the past decade, was in business, now and then started out in the state house. So in what way might you be different in your similarities there with a business background?
Yeah, there are some similarities between our professional backgrounds. The difference there is that I'm coming without a whole party platform that I'm just planning to stick to, because I think that's what we are seeing quite a bit, is very party line type of vote, and I don't intend on doing that at all.
All right, well, Lee, you have an open mic here, please. We hope to talk to you again as the election approaches. Keep in touch. We'll have you on the On the Mark program as well, where you can get some listener questions and emails posed as well at that time. Thank you so much, Lee. How can people get more information on your campaign? You did mention the Facebook presence. Do you have a website?
Yes, sir. My website is LeeGriffinForCongress.com. It's all spelled out, super easy. Also on Facebook and Instagram, it's Lee Griffin for Congress. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to being with you again soon.
All right, thank you so much. Lee Griffin, Sunbury, Democratic candidate for U.S. Congress in the 12th District.